Southdale's Church, one of our core values is God's Word in us changes us. So please turn with me to the Gospel of John. We're walking through the Gospel of John, and we are in the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 18. When you read God's Word, and hopefully you are reading God's Word each day, and if you don't have a plan, we encourage you to maybe get an app. One of the apps I recommend is called the YouVersion or the Bible, and man, it'll help you read God's Word every day. But as you read God's Word, you need to see the context. So be very aware that when you read one verse, read the verses around the beginning and the end of it to understand the whole story. The last couple weeks, we've been studying John 15. And we have learned that Jesus is the true vine and we're the branches. So when you become a Christ follower, you are connecting yourself to Jesus Christ. And all the life and all the fruit of your life is because of your connection to Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing to be connected to Jesus. If you have not made that commitment to follow Christ, that would be the number one decision we would like you to pray about today. Then last week, we learned that when you're connected to Jesus, now he calls you his friend. And we talked about a friendship with Jesus. And I want to tell you, walking with Jesus every day is a blessed life. So we're connected to Jesus. We're walking with Jesus. We're his friends. Man, life cannot get any better than that. And then Jesus opens his mouth and tells us what it's like to follow Jesus. Please stand with me as we begin to read John 15, beginning with verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, and I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Father in heaven, I thank you that you help us in time of need. When the world is against us, when Satan is against us, Lord, we can stand strong because of you. Your gift to us of the Holy Spirit to help us. Lord God, I pray at South Hills Church, we would stand strong in Christ. I pray right now, Lord God, for our brothers and sisters around the world that are being persecuted because of Jesus. Lord God, I pray that we would never forget the battle that's going on around the world for the cause of Christ. And Lord God, you know the battles in this room. The walk with Jesus can be difficult. I pray, Lord God, that as we meditate on your word, we would gain supernatural strength. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Current event. Last week, a church in China of Christ followers, non-registered church, by the way, so the government is not controlling the church, was destroyed. Here's a picture of it. This happened last week. The steeple is coming down. The Christ followers in the last few years had grown to such a strong presence in the community. There were 50,000 Christ followers coming to this church. The government was not pleased with the growth and that they were not registered, so the pastors were rounded up and put in jail, and the church was detonated with explosives and destroyed last week. Matthew 24:9 is very clear, the words of Jesus, "You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." A little glimpse of that you might have noticed in the news when the United Nations had a vote against Israel and Jerusalem specifically. Most of the world voted against Israel. Did you know that? When I say most, I mean almost all. "You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." We have seen an increase in the United States of shootings at churches. We have a strong security team here, hopefully. God will protect us. God will protect his followers. But there have been a growing number of verbal attacks on Christians, illegal attacks on Christians. We have known that here in the Tri-Cities as well. Just to get a reality check, maybe for your understanding of Christianity, there are 215 million Christians under direct persecution today, totaling about 60 countries. Of the 200 nations in the world, 60 of them have laws against Christianity, 60 of them. North Korea, Pakistan, China, Sudan, Somalia, Iran, Egypt, Nepal, and on and on. Now, this is not new to Christianity. In the first century, there was heavy persecution against the early church for several reasons. Number one, there were religious reasons why Christians were being persecuted. The Jews did not like the Christian view of Christianity as they were presenting the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. There was hostility between Jews and Gentiles. But then something really strange happened. You maybe don't know this, but in the first century, Christians were put in jail because they believed that Christians were atheists. You might think that's strange, but the religion of the Roman Empire was that the emperor was God, and then there was also a series of other gods, and Christians said the emperor is not God, and neither are these gods, and so they got labeled atheists, and they were persecuted because they didn't believe in the emperor being God. There were also social reasons why persecution happened. Slaves and masters, I want to tell you, in Jesus, slaves and masters were equal, okay? Now, they could not always destroy slavery. I don't believe that pleases God at all, that slavery has ever existed. But they could not stop the slavery in the first century. But what they did in the church was they lifted the slaves up to be equal with the masters, that in Christ they were one. And that had a huge impact socially in a community, and therefore the Christians were persecuted. There was also economic reasons. We saw this in the town of Ephesus in the book of Acts, that when you denounce idols and idol worship, the people that make money on idolatry were not very happy. So we find these three reasons are also true today. There is a religious conflict in our world against Christianity. There are social conflicts against Christianity because we take a stand on the Word of God, not what is politically correct, but we believe that God has a plan for a man and a woman, and biblical traditional marriage is what God teaches, and the preservation of life, you're going to hear next Sunday, that every life is valuable. And when Christianity takes a stand on biblical truth, socially, there'll be an uproar against us. Economically, when we take a stand on what we're going to spend our money on, and we're not going to spend our money on the things that the world wants to spend our money on, and there's a tension there economically as well. So now let's dig into God's Word and find out exactly what Jesus is telling us this morning. And as we sort through this, I want us to hang on tight, because I know it seems just a little oppressive and a little negative right now, but hang on, there's victory in Jesus. Amen? Okay, so number one, let's just face the fact, this is what Jesus is saying, the world hates Jesus, okay? Now, you might think, oh, that's not true, I think everybody loves Jesus. Well, we're talking about the biblical Jesus, not the Jesus that somebody has manufactured in their own head, Okay. Now, the word hatred is used by Jesus 7 times in this passage. So this is not just, oh, this kind of word kind of slipped out. By divine inspiration, 7 times this word hatred is used. Verse 18, he says this, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." So as we affirm our faith in Jesus as the only Savior of the world, and we declare with confidence that we have a connection with God that is eternal by His grace, and it is the only way you can get to heaven, and we declare this with joy and celebration that God has provided a solution to the problem we have called sin, not everybody's going to respond well to that message. Now let's talk about the definition. When he says the world hates you, what is he talking about? When he talks about the world, he's talking, first of all, about all the people on earth. By the way, God loves everyone. If you're here today, I want to tell you God loves you. If you walked in this morning and you weren't sure anybody loved you, I'm going to tell you God loves you. John 3:16 is so clear. Also, it tells us that God knows every person on the planet earth. But here's the truth found in John 1:10. Not everybody knows him. He knows everyone, but they don't always know him. And God gives them the freedom to respond to him. And the Bible says that they choose to walk away or to reject him. Therefore, they don't know him. What we have in our world, we talked about a few years ago, is an upside down world. It is a culture that is independent of God and his word. So when Jesus says the world will hate you, he's not talking about people being hateful necessarily. He's talking about a culture that is against Christianity. So the world hates Jesus. You might think, really? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 says that Satan has blinded their minds. So here's God who loves the world. He cares about every person. And Satan blinds their mind and creates a false truth in their head, a fake news in their head, and it tells them that God is not worthy to be trusted. Second, sin hardens our hearts. So we want to do what we want to do. And God is saying, I have another plan for you. And we don't like that voice. Friendship with whatever is against God becomes our nature, our second nature. We start wanting the things that God does not want for us because God knows us and he wants to help us. And we have a determined effort to turn our back against God. John 3 says that we actually love the darkness. When you love the spiritual, moral darkness of this world, then you will what? Jesus says you will hate the light. So when Jesus says the world's going to hate you because it has hated me, he says, I have come as the light of the world, and the darkness hates the light. Matthew talks about this as well. So let me just give you a quote that has been very helpful to me by Billy Graham. And this is how he describes this hatred that the world has toward Jesus. He says these words, "The cross has come down through the centuries, passing its unfailing judgment upon the sin, the pride, the greed, the self-indulgent pleasures and lusts of people." The cross of Jesus says to the world, "You are sinners." And the world doesn't like to hear that. The cross throws a great searchlight on the evil of the world. And it doesn't like that. So Matthew 5:11 says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Okay, blessing? Really? Okay, now watch this. You are in the world and you are desperately needing a Savior. Jesus comes and saves you and redeems you and purchases you and delivers you, and now you are with Jesus. And I tell you, no matter what the world says from now on, you are in a blessed place. Verse 19, "If you were of the world would love you as its own." Now, we've talked about how there's 4 Greek words for love. There's agape, God's sacrificial, unselfish love, and storge, which is a family love, and eros, which is a physical love. But the word phileo is a friendship love. And that's the word Jesus used right now. He says, The world would love you. And he says the word phileo, which means, man, if you do what the world wants, they're going to be friends with you. You've known this when you've come to Jesus, by the way. Some of you have known this. You've come to Jesus and your old friends don't like you anymore. Because you're not doing the same things that you used to do. So phileo is a friendship love. It is liking the same things. It is a natural affection. It is a kindred spirit. And in the world, there is a phileo love for one another because we like to sin together. And so we like to do the same things together. And now you come to Jesus and you leave that life and they're not happy with you because you're not of the world. You're not of the world because Jesus says, I chose you out of the world. Out of the world. Did you hear that? In the world, and now he's chose you to be out of the world. As a Christ follower today, I want to tell you, you are out of this world. Isn't that great? I mean, what does it mean? It means as a Christ follower, you are a brand new creation. Before, you had deadness, but now you have life in Jesus. The old things pass away. Behold, all things are new. You have a new nature. Supernatural, divine nature has been put inside of you, not the sin nature of the past. You have a new family. God is your Father. You are his child by his grace. You have a new kingdom, not the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of light. You have a new direction in your life. You don't have to go the same path, the broad road leading to destruction. You are on a narrow road, but it is leading to light and life and eternal life. Now, this tells us as Christ followers, we have been chosen to be out of this world. Now, it doesn't mean that you need to be isolated from the world. The idea of a monastery is not found in God's word, where you need to be away from anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus, and let's have this holy cluster every week, and let's turn our backs on all the non-Christ followers, because they might contaminate us. Be careful, that is not found in God's word. He wants us to go into the world with the message of good news, but we are not to live like the world. We are not to be immersed in the world, in the world's philosophy, in the world's choices, in the world's attitudes. We are supposed to be different. So because we're different, Jesus says, therefore, the world hates you. Everybody say, amen. Amen. Whoa, that was a tough one, wasn't it? Well, you've come out of the world. Jesus has rescued you. And the world now hates you. Did you know in the original language, that's a present tense verb? It means it never stops. Proverbs 29:27 says, one whose way is straight is an abomination of the wicked. I'm going to leave the crooked path, and I'm going to walk the straight path with Jesus. And guess what? They're going to hate you for that. Christianity Today magazine had a quote recently. It said this, radical relativity has invaded our cultural consciousness. Any absolute truth claim is disdained as idolatrous, illusory, and bigoted. If you say this world that has no understanding of truth is wrong, and I'm going to follow the truth which is found in Jesus and his word, they will not respond well to that belief, that there is an absolute truth. John MacArthur Jr. said this, if we remain silent about our faith, in order to gain acceptance by the world, we have made a poor trade. In fact, we are being dishonest in two ways. We deny the faith we claim as central in our lives, and we deceive those whose acceptance we want by not revealing the true Christian faith. So if you try to blend it in the world and not stand strong with Jesus, you're actually lying in two ways. You're lying about the truth of what Christianity really is to deliver people out of the world. And you're really lying to God about who you really are. If you're trying to blend into the world, I thought I called you out of the world. So the world hates Jesus. Number two, it gets better here. Here goes. The world persecutes Jesus. There's a difference between an abiding hatred and now a persecution. And we'll look at what that means. Verse 20 says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. That was found in chapter 13, verse 14, where when Jesus was washing their feet, and he said, now, hey, by the way, the servant is not greater than the master. If I've washed your feet, guess what? You get to wash each other's feet. Okay, so now he brings up the same truth again. But now it's talking about something a little bit tougher than washing feet. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So now, if you're following the master named Jesus, and this is how they're treating him, they will treat you the same way. 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who will desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's not maybe persecuted, not might be persecuted. It says will be persecuted. 1 John 3:13, do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Really, I'm such a nice person. Yeah, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. We get so surprised. Why are people mistreating me? They mistreated Jesus. How did his life end? Did you forget? He was crucified. So the word persecute means to pursue with a hostile intent or to put to flight. So it's like the cat chasing the mouse. Better illustration, the cat chasing the bird, you know, feeding on the grass, and the cat, you know, got lunch. Oh, man, the bird flew away. Okay, but the cat's not going to stop. It's going to keep looking for that bird, and that bird will not be safe because the cat is just, the cats are so deceptive. They kind of just kind of sneak around until they just jump, and all of a sudden, there they are. That's the word persecute. They don't give up. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Now, that's a good news statement right there in the middle of this. Here's the good news statement. There will be people that will hear the word of God, and the word of God will change their lives, and they will not persecute you. They will want what you have. That's the good news right there in that sentence. But it also is a reminder to me that persecution is not about your opinion or my opinion. It is not about my philosophy or your philosophy. Biblical persecution is about the Word of God. So when somebody challenges you about your belief system, you better have biblical reasons why you believe what you believe. Okay, and it's just a great, great diffuser of a conversation. I'll tell you, I don't believe what you're saying. Da, da. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I guess I was not clear. It's not me that said that. It was God's word that said that. You see, the word of God is the deciding factor here. It's not about you and me and my idea and your idea. It's what does God's word say? So 1 John 4 says this, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world. So the philosophy and the attitudes and the opinions are coming from that world point of view. And the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. We listen to the word of God. The word us there refers to the apostles that have been writing the New Testament. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. But by this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So how do we know what is right and wrong? How do we know who to believe in this world of confusing ideas? Well, go to God's word. And by this, we will know what God says versus what the world says. So what's the application? As Christ followers, when the world is persecuting Jesus and they're persecuting us, we need to focus on his word. Be careful when you say something that is clearly supported by God's word. By the way, at our welcome class, we talk about unity, and our unity is found in our core beliefs in God's word. Not in our styles and preferences and our ideas, but it's in God's word. Also, disunity is over his word. So if you do not believe in the word of God, you're probably going to get tired of South Hills Church. Because guess what? We keep going to God's word. And this is the foundation of who we are. Not our personalities, not our programs, not our preferences. It's the word of God. Now, number three, I want you to think about for a moment. Jesus makes it a family discussion here. He says the world hates his father. So we have the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In verse 21, Jesus says, "But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." That's referring to his Father. So this is not about which religion is right. That's what the world wants to make it into. You just think your religion's better than anybody else. That's not what this is about. This is about a personal relationship with God. And Jesus says, here's the personal, it's not about my opinion, your opinion. It's because they don't know my Father. And because they don't know my Father, they don't want to know me. My dad was a pastor for 28 years in Hayward, California. And during that time, he decided to run for the school board. And the schools back in the 1960s in California were a mess, let me just tell you, okay. I know it's beyond your imagination, but they were a mess, all right? And so my dad became actually the president of the school board. And he stood up one school board meeting, and he said, things are going to change around here. Okay, and we're not going to teach immorality anymore. I had a teacher in my freshman year at high school that sat on the desk and opened up the Berkeley Barb newspaper and talked about where you could smoke joints. And that was what we talked about for the hour, okay? I think it was a math class, but I didn't really get that. And my dad heard these stories, and he said, things are going to change around here. So they began to hate my dad. And so much so, you guys probably heard the story, one of the people that hated my dad so bad placed a bomb on our front of our house and blew out the front living room and window and stuff. And no one was hurt, praise God. But then when I walked around the school, because people hated my dad, then they didn't know me. I'm a nice guy. But they didn't like me. They didn't like my sister. They didn't like my brother. We walked around campus, and we were hated. Why? Because they hated my dad. And he ended up being recalled. And then he ended up starting a Christian school, which I ended up going to, and that's my story. I'm going to stick with it. But I had repercussions because of the problem they were having with my dad. When somebody says, I don't like Jesus, but I kind of believe in God, and I'd like to have a relationship with God, and Jesus says it's absolutely impossible. If you want a relationship with God, you have to understand you need to have a relationship with His Son. And really, if you're having a hard time with the Son, you're really having a hard time with the Father. And this is about a relationship problem. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Now, Jesus is not saying that they were not sinners before He showed up. But what He is saying is they now have a specific sin of rejecting the Son of God. And did you notice in that verse, verse 22, they have no excuse. Do you know when somebody faces God someday, if you're not a Christ follower, by the way, this morning, you will face God someday. And the Bible says when you face God, there'll be no excuse. Oh, man, I got a great defense. No, you really don't. Why? Well, number one, there's clear evidence in creation. Romans 1:20 says that God has revealed Himself to every man of His nature, of His power, that He is real, that He is good, and that if you stand before God and said, I never knew you, God would say, I gave you my creation to display my glory. Did you not see that? There's also clear evidence in Christ, John 15:22. Jesus says, I've come for a reason, and one of the reasons He's come is to give clear evidence to those that are rejecting Him that God cares about them, and God wanted to save them, and God came and sent His Son for them, and the presence of Jesus on this earth is clear evidence of who God is, and the offer of salvation is to all people. Whoever hears the message of the good news and calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is clear evidence in Christians themselves. Did you know in Matthew 5:16, when you live for Jesus, guess what? You are a light shining to a dark world, and they can see Jesus in you so much so that they want what you have. We are the evidence of the truth of Christianity, your life, my life. So Hebrews 10:29 says, how much more worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God? God's glory in creation, God's glory in Jesus coming and giving his life on a cross for you, Christianity displaying that message, and there will be no excuse. Verse 23, whoever hates me hates my Father also. This is a family issue. The Trinity goes together, by the way. People rejecting the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they're rejecting the work of Jesus on the cross for their sin, they're rejecting the work of God the Father sending his Son. It's a family package. And the world says, no, thank you. John 5:23, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. 1 John 2:23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. You cannot have a relationship with God without receiving the Father's plan, the Son's work, the reception of what the Holy Spirit is teaching you, and it comes together. Number four, the world hates Jesus without a cause. Verse 24, but the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. He's actually quoting Psalms 35:19 here. So, if you are hesitating about being a Christ follower, listen to the evidence of the truth of who Jesus is. You have the purity evidence. He lived a life without sin so that his friends and his enemies both said he has no sin. He did not live in a hypocritical fashion. He was true to what he was saying. There is historical evidence of proof of the life of Jesus. There is scriptural manuscript evidence that we can trust the Word of God and the story of what happened with Jesus. There's transformational evidence. When people come to faith in Christ, they are new people, and everybody can see the transformation. There's prophetic evidence that God said, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, and guess what? It happened. Exactly how it was stated in the scriptures. So they really, when they hate Jesus, they are going right in the face. Their hatred, their unbelief is going right in the face of the evidence. There is no reasonable foundation for their hatred. The hatred is not justified, it's not merited, it's not valid. And let's just talk a moment about your life and my life. If you are hated because of Jesus, I want you to be very careful that they also hate you without a cause. So we need to be careful. Be respectful of every person, no matter what their belief system. You see a Muslim in the grocery store, be respectful to them. Somebody that's doing drugs, be respectful to them. Be truthful to them. Always tell the truth. Be a good worker. I mean, Christians have a bad reputation through the years of being lousy workers because they're so busy witnessing to their co-workers, they forget that they have a job to do. Be careful of that. Be unselfish. Be humble. Be gentle. Be loving. And when you are Jesus in their presence, that's Jesus was hated without a cause, you also will be hated without a cause. Be careful that they're not hating you because of your behavior is bad, your attitude is bad, you have a superior self-righteous attitude, and you are not loving, and you are not kind, and you are not unselfish, and that's why they're hating you. It's not because of Jesus. It's because of those attitudes. So let's just summarize for a moment. How can we be Jesus strong? Okay, in the face of the world against us and the world persecuting and the world hating us, how? Here it is. Remember these words. This is not in your outline. You might need to write it somewhere else. The opposition is not about you. It's about him. Okay? Remember, it's about Jesus. Don't take it personal. Number two, the Spirit of truth will help you. Jesus tells us in this passage. He goes right into verse 26. It says this, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And then you will bear witness about me. So the world is full of lies, and so many things they say are not true. You need to walk in the Spirit of truth, and you need to walk in the Holy Spirit's help and power, and the Holy Spirit will teach you what is true and will help you to bear witness about Jesus. Okay, so you have a helper. His name is the Holy Spirit, and he's ready to help you. The Spirit of truth will help you. Number three, live above reproach. Don't compromise. Don't compromise with the world. Don't compromise to get people to like you. Don't compromise to fit into the world. Yes, love the world. Love the people that need to hear about Jesus, but don't compromise who you are in Christ. Number four, know the word and live the word. This is going to be your foundation. When the storm comes, it's the word of God that will give you strength. Be loving. Overcome evil with good. Be loving. Overcome evil with good. We win because good is always more powerful than the evil. And the way you overcome it is not to hate them back. Did you notice anywhere in this passage where it says we should hate people? It doesn't say that, does it? It says that they'll hate you, but we stand with a loving God that loves the world. Even while they're still sinners, Christ died for them. Next principle, remember this. Stand strong together. Here's a question. My son is a police officer for West Richland, and he was chasing, actually tackled a guy this last week. And that was pretty cool. In the middle of a street. I'm not sure that was cool, but anyway. But the question I asked him was, did you have backup? He goes, oh, yeah, my sergeant was right there with me. But I got to the guy first. You know, I outran the sergeant and got to him. I go, yeah, good job. You know, those sergeants are kind of slow, right, Craig? Okay. Just teasing. Okay. Chris is actually quite fast, actually. But the question in law enforcement is always, where's your backup? Did you forget that you are not supposed to do the Christian life alone? That's why we have life groups. That's why we come together as the body of Christ each Sunday. If you're trying to stand against the world that hates you alone, you're in trouble. Last thought, look for opportunities to share the good news. The world is in trouble. They are looking for hope, and we have the message of good news. So don't turn your backs on the world. Look for ways to connect with them and share the good news. Please bow in prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for loving us and rescuing us out of the world, a world that had no hope, a world of despair and bondage and discouragement, a world of confusion, a world that Satan has blinded their minds. Lord God, by your grace, you have rescued us. Thank you, Jesus. But Lord God, as we stand with you, we see especially the persecution around the world against Jesus. Lord God, help us to not be afraid. Help us to stand strong. And Lord Jesus, I know you're here to help us. You've sent the Holy Spirit to help us. I pray that we as Christ followers would leave this place encouraged with a supernatural strength. And if there's someone in this room that has been hesitating in deciding to follow Jesus, that this would be the day that they receive that free gift of eternal life. Lord God, help us to be strong in our witness. Help us to be strong in testifying. Help us to be strong as we boldly reach out to people that need Jesus. Help us to not be afraid. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.